We're back with another episode of Tabernet Talks. We got a good one today. You know, I keep switching up every week here. I'm trying to switch it up every week, actually. We had a conversation before the show. You know, we've had a lot of realtors on because I'm obviously realtor-based, and that's what I care about. But there's a lot of other people in the real estate industry that I'm running into, and I think that's a good thing that we have them on. We had an insurance guy on a few weeks, of course, Jeff Gallo. Jeff, thanks for coming on. And today we got an investor here, right? So this guy is a whole different avenue of information that we haven't plugged into in this show. So I appreciate Aldo Chandra for coming on. He's with Toll Brothers, okay? So I'm sure everybody knows Toll Brothers, one of the biggest builders out there, right? Slash real estate companies. Yep. If you're in real estate and you don't know that name, then you're not in real estate. So, right. But Aldo, tell us what you do and how you started in real estate so we can get a little background.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Alex, for bringing me onto this podcast. It's been a long time coming.
It has been.
Meeting you in the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. Right. And now here we are.
That's how we met. Yep. That's why he looks so good, right? He hangs out with me, right?
But my name is Aldo Chandra. I work for Toll Brothers. I'm in the finance division for their apartments and student housing division.
Cool.
A lot of people know Toll Brothers as like this big conglomerate, the McMansions, right? You built this, million-dollar homes. But I used to do that. I was part of the project called North Bank here in Philadelphia in a Fishtown neighborhood, building homes for them. It's 2/2 condos. And I transitioned out of that, out of the construction role, and moved towards the apartment and a student housing division because it was bigger, and I wanted to know more about like the investing aspect and the finance aspect as opposed to the construction.
Okay.
So it's been going really well, and
where is the student housing at? Like, where is it, a specific college area, or where are we talking?
It's national.
Okay.
We have currently five projects under development right now. One of them is in pre-leasing mode right now, and one of them is already stabilized.
Anything here in Philly or nothing in Philly?
Not necessarily in Philly, but in Penn State.
Okay.
So we have the Yards at PSU, Penn State University.
Nice.
That's a student housing that we have up there.
Okay.
And then in the apartment industry, we're in 24 different markets, and we actually have a project here at Broad and Noble.
Oh, nice.
Yep, in Philadelphia.
So with the Penn State, they give you free tickets to go to the games over
there? I wish.
You're building for the students.
That is true. We probably get perks.
Right. You gotta get some
they never tell me. They're like,
of course not. He's the last man to know anything.
Like,
right?
You gotta work. But I started in real estate at actually 5 years ago now, at the age of 18.
Yep.
And at the time, I was doing a cleaning business with a friend, and I was kind of the business development, the salesperson. And I thought that, okay, there's this meetup, this real estate meetup that I don't know anything about real estate, but I know that we need more to get more clients.
Sure.
So how do we get more clients? We get more clients by bringing people who have houses. So I went to that meetup. It was actually at Hotel Sofitel, which is on 17 and Samsung.
I know where it's at. Yeah.
And I was so nervous.
I'm sure.
30 minutes before, I was there an hour before the meeting started. Meeting, I started at 6 and I got there at 5. And I was so nervous. I was in a bathroom for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, just washing my face.
I thought he was going to get graphic for a minute.
No.
So I don't want to know too much out there.
Yeah.
just a small detail.
Just wash my face. I was like, I can do this.
That's good.
Walking into a room at 18 years old full of 30, 40, 50 year old is very intimidating.
I'm sure.
And I didn't know anything about real estate investing. I didn't know what wholesaling was. I didn't know what ARV or repair costs.
You were going in cold turkey, basically.
I was going into cold turkey with the hope of to get more clients for my cleaning business. That's it.
Right.
So I got in there and everything changed. And the first thing I thought of was, oh, I can make more money buying houses versus cleaning houses. And that kind of set that mind shift change of meeting mentors, asking even stupid questions. And ever since then, I found a mentor and I worked for him for free for 6 months.
Good.
While still going to school and also working at a bar at the time. And 6 months after, we did like a wholesale deal and I purchased my first flip.
Nice.
And I got the...
That's a whole different
spectrum.
I know that. Yeah, that's not easy.
Yep. So raised capital for that first flip. Actually, I met the same guy from that meetup, and he was able to finance both the acquisition and the rehab costs.
Okay.
And that first flip was truly a life-changing experience because at the time, you know, I raised capital, which not a lot of people were able to do or scared to do. And I was over budget by 30 grand. And as an 18-year-old, it's
that's great.
Yeah. As an 18-year-old, I'm like, I don't know what to do. It's what I do. It's $30,000. I couldn't ask my family.
Right.
They didn't want to, they were like, oh, you're doing this real estate. What if it falls off? And so we can't
what are you
really
gonna do?
You.
Yeah. Right. What if you fail?
Correct. I couldn't ask all my friends because they're all college students. They were more in debt, actually.
Right. They have no money.
Yep. And I didn't know any rich people at the time.
Right.
So I shifted into credit cards, and that's how I started my credit card game. And start learning how to get lines of credit, what is a credit limit, all those things about credit cards.
So Aldo, if you guys don't know, I mean, he actually coaches people on how to fix their credit and what they need to do in order to get their scores where they need to be in order to invest, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's not easy to do. That's like a science there, right? Like pay it down to 30%, do this, pay this down. Like, you know, in the mortgage business, we have something that's called the credit simulator, where we put the person's info into a system and the system tells us what we need to do in order to get their score to go from, let's say, 620 to 660.
Yep.
Right. Pay this down, pay that off.
Yep.
And that's not easy.
Yep.
You know, you have to follow a formula.
Yep. And my formula was from experience. It wasn't anything that I could find online, right?
Right. You're doing it just on your own.
Correct.
We have a computer telling us what to do. If we didn't have the computer, I wouldn't know what I'm saying.
Yep.
So I would just say you're declined for the mortgage and let's move on, right? Which is terrible. And that's just what the mortgage industry is. Like if someone sees a low credit score, they don't want to help you. But nowadays with that credit simulator, that helps a lot.
Yep. So back to where I started, it was like the 30 grand, I was over budget, learned how to do the credit. And eventually finished that flip. And it was a tough thing. And I was struggling, but I learned so much about the home flipping industry, the selling side, closing costs, interest, a lot of experience. And fortunately enough, after that first deal, that was a marvelous thing. I remember I was driving a 2005 Honda Civic and I was blasting Trophies by Drake. And that was like the best thing ever happened.
That is a great
life.
Song. I've listened to that many times while I was running and in the gym.
Yep.
And I've heard Aldo listening to the gym too. He's been blasting it in his earphones. He won't even talk to me because he has it blasting so loud. So we know the song well.
Yeah.
It's good.
So ever since that first flip, you know, did more wholesale deal, did a few more flips, became an agent for a little bit, did property management.
And so are you a licensed agent too or no?
I'm not a licensed agent. I'm not in a way of like a salesperson agent. I'm what's called like a builder's owner agent.
Okay.
And there's a slight
can you sell new construction, I guess, if you needed to, like
under the Toll Brothers name.
Okay. That's
fine. So I can't represent someone.
Right,
correct.
But with Toll Brothers, you could sell one of their units.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cause they have so many units.
Yeah. And the perks of that is I don't need to do the continuing education for 2 years.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And, having my license still
intact. Let's say you picked a new development somewhere. You could just go to that new development and say, I want to start selling some units out of there. Would that be possible or no?
If I am representing under that builder hang up that license with that builder, if they have a brokerage system,
they could do that.
Yep.
Wow. That's great. I mean, that's a big business.
Mm-hmm.
Their new construction is huge. I think we're going to start seeing more of that. Like they're begging builders to build because there's no inventory, as you know.
Yep.
So the more that Toll Brothers is at the forefront of that, right? They got to build in order to bring people back into the market and in order for people to list and move the new houses.
Correct.
Right. So what do you see there? Like new construction starts more coming or what do you see as far as, you know, builders starting to build? Like, do you know that background there?
Well, land is always tough to find. And so within Toll Brothers, at least the home building and apartments, we have to find our own land. And land is very hard. And it also depends on the market and the customer base that we want. So that's a difficult aspect. And entitlements is tough too. It takes two years, maybe even more, depending on the project size to get projects entitled. And what entitled mean basically is it's more like a democratic process of like, as a builder or developer, this is what we want to build.
Right.
And there's a process depending on your city, and you ask your neighbors, ask the people surrounding,
and
the politicians, the council people on that city, and ask, hey, this is what we want to build. Are you okay with it?
Yeah.
And you get, you know, back and forth. Sometimes you get
then you got to get the
architects,
permits and all
that. Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a whole process
that's
in entitlements, and eventually that's when you can start building. But to answer your question, it is tough right now. Developers, not just Toll Brothers specifically, but other developers as well, they're pushing back on, okay, in the future, let's hold this land for the future use down the line. Because as you know, and especially in the Philadelphia area, you have 11,000 units delivered in 2023 and another 8 to 9,000 in 2024. And you see just oversaturated supply.
Yeah, they're sitting on them.
Correct.
And you that's the major problem in Philly, guys. They're sitting on so many units and they're not moving.
Correct. And you know? And you could see right now, this is a renter's market, at least in the Philadelphia area, where you see...
I think that's what I feel like they want, which I hate to say. I'm not putting down the real estate industry, but you know, I feel like we're turning into a renter nation here.
Yep.
You know, where everything in Philly is turning into rentals, and you know, it's unit after unit after unit. And you know, the home buyers, the first time home buyers, are being pushed into renting because they can't afford to buy because the interest rates are too high or the prices of the homes are too high. So they're just building and building and building rental units.
Yep. And the net migration, if you look at Philadelphia's data, it's been decreasing over the past few years because of crime, because people are, you know, the typical Philadelphia resident is the cycle is we go to school here because we're known for the eds and meds. And once we have that first job and get that good paycheck, we move out into the suburbs.
Right. They get out.
Correct.
Yeah. That's the unfortunate part of the city. You know, I want to touch on something last week that I had said on the podcast that kind of got a little flack from a number of people that I had commented on the podcast. So I just want to clear my name. You know, I had said that the city of Philly is tough right now, in the market is tough here, and that if you're a realtor selling and actually wasn't last week, it was a few weeks ago on another guest that I had, he was Rookie of the Year for Philly. And I had said that, you know, I couldn't believe how good he was doing and you know, all the things that he's done in one of the toughest markets, and Philly being specifically one of them. What I meant by that is I didn't put down the whole city. I live here. I've lived here for 25 years. So I'm not here to put down Philly. I'm not here to put down the realtors. I work with the realtors in the community day in and day out. I push for the city to do more deals, and I try to build as much as I can here. And what I meant by that is there are tough spots in the city that there are units that are sitting, you know, as he's confirmed. There are houses that are sitting that are not selling, that have been on the market for multiple days. They've dropped the prices many times. I'm the mortgage guy. I'm doing the open house sheets. I see it. And it's something that it's not the whole city. No, I'm not generalizing the whole city. What I'm saying is there are certain parts in the city, unfortunately, that have really good realtors that I deal with that have had major problems trying to move the market.
Right.
Right.
And the crazy thing is that, yes, it is a renter's market, and renters, if they want to transition into the home ownership, and Philly is one of those cities where the mortgage payments is almost the same as
renting.
As renting, sure. Exactly. But they don't want to sign that contract of 15, 30 years of mortgage when the interest rates are still high where they are now. So they're renting for like another
year. Waiting, and they're going to wait for the rates to come down. And then once they come down, then they're going to buy.
Yeah. And another thing about renters is there's so much concessions. You know, there are certain zip codes in Philadelphia where you see thousands of units are coming online, and there's 2 months concessions, there's waive application fee, pet fees, all those things, because once the apartments is complete building, like they have a debt to pay. They have this big commercial mortgages that's usually a variable rate that is expensive. And if you don't have people online, you're going to go bankrupt. You have
to do it. Right.
Yeah, it's tough.
So Aldo deals with a lot of younger investors. I did want to touch on this because, you know, he's the upcoming young generation, a lot younger than me, that are right. So which I, you know,
you're
I
young.
Know
that. You're young,
no,
Alex.
No, I'm not young. All right. So, but he's the young breed, the people that you want to talk to. They are on the front line too, as far as seeing these young investors get into the market. So Aldo, what if I am a young investor and I'm just starting out, let's say in my early 20s, and I want to get, you know, into investing in, you know, maybe a multi-units or maybe something of a, even like a commercial building or whatever it may be. And where do I begin?
Yep.
I mean, that's a big one.
So the first thing is you want to educate yourself. That is the most important thing. Well, the second most important is the networking, but educate yourself. And what I mean by that, don't learn so much about an industry, especially in real estate. There's so many different avenues. You could start as a mortgage lender. You could start as being a realtor. You could talk about like appraisals, or there's so many different avenues to start in real estate. And the first thing you want to do is educate yourself, continuously learning, because real estate is just not one and done. I want to learn more about how can I purchase a home? Like, what are the things that included in the home buying process? Who are the people that I should be in my team? So learn everything about that. And then the second thing is you want to network. Network is very, very important. And I'm pretty sure, Alex, you heard this before.
Oh, yeah.
In real estate, it's not necessarily what you do. It's who you know. And building that, and that's how I started in real estate as well, right? That first meetup, I didn't know anyone. And majority of the people that are 30, 40, 50 years old, you want to ask so much questions. And the reason why I say educate yourself is to figure out what you're really, really good at. And that occurs with the next thing, which is networking, because you want to find a mentor. And I think people get the mentor thing wrong. It's like, you just don't go anyone and be like, hey, can you be my mentor or can I be your mentee, right? You want to provide value for the people who are older than you or that can be your mentor. And eventually there's that reciprocal relationship of that mentor is going to give you that years of experience and mistakes and lessons in exchange for that young energy that you could help in many different ways. So educate yourself and continue to network.
The problem is a lot of these younger people go to mentors and they think that it's a magic pill that they're going to get successful overnight. Yep. And they just want to take that information from the mentor and say, you know, how come I'm not successful after 1 month? You know, you're the god of this business. Shouldn't I just have to do nothing and, yep, and become big, right? And that's the problem. Like, you're right. They should bring some value to the mentor to say, listen, this is what I bring to the table and I need you to take me further.
Right. And the third thing is also execute.
Yeah.
It's like, well, the thing is, one is you want to be patient, right? Real estate is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's not just you get that one deal done. It's like, how do you maintain that deal?
Say that again. It is a marathon. It's not a sprint. I've been saying this for 20 years.
Yeah.
This is not a marathon. Every month that you start, like, we do a lot of deals, let's say in January, right? But February 1st, I go back down to zero, right? And then I have no deals in February, right? So it's not a sprint to say how many deals I did in January and then I can just take off in February and March. No, it's a marathon. And at the end of the year is what they look at, right? It's not about daily things that you did that day and how many deals you closed that day and then you're done. No, it's a marathon till the end of the year.
Yep. And that's continuous. It's not just, I've been looking at deals for the past 30 days. Like, okay, that's great. What are you going to do for the next 60? What are you going to do for the next 90 days? How many phone calls did you make? How many realtors or how many, you know, mortgage lenders did you talk to? How many people did you network? Those, I really believe in continuous improvement. Those little small things will add up. Same thing with running, right? If you don't know how to run, or not how to run, if you haven't started on that endurance sport yet, you don't just jump in and do 26.2 miles and do a marathon. You know, you wake up, maybe you put on your running gear on for that day, and maybe you don't run. Maybe the next day it's like, okay, I'm going to go outside and run that block.
Sure.
And then the next day,
little by little.
And eventually now you're doing a marathon.
You know what it is? Everybody wants to do 26.2 the day they start running. That's the problem with this generation that we live in, is that they just want to go, you know, and do nothing and just see the accolades and you can't get there. You gotta work to get there.
I think there's a social pressure in social media that plays a big role on it.
I know that.
And you see people in social media, it's like, oh, look at me, I get this deal within 30 days. Or, I've made $50,000 just doing this one deal. It's like, no, I'm pretty sure there's so many different things that person have developed over the years or in the mentors or the network that they have accumulate that cause them to do that deal. And same thing for me.
The problem with social media is everybody's a top producer, right? Everybody closed a million, like everybody's a vice president of a company or everybody's a president of the company. Like, this can't be, right?
Yep.
You just started in real estate 2 months ago. So how are we a top producer? Just because you're out at events and on Instagram taking pictures of you being at an event doesn't make you a top producer. Okay, guys? What makes you a top producer is 5 years later when you have numbers to show that you worked your butt off from nothing and you made something. That's a top producer. Top producer just doesn't have a few good months and then, let's go to a party and, you know, and walk around with it and take pictures and put it all. That's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And what's crazy too, as I've just developed myself in this real estate journey, is there's so many people under the radar that are doing so well.
Right, you don't even know it.
You don't even know it.
Because the top producers are not on Facebook and Instagram taking pictures. They're just doing the
job. They're just working. They're just executing on a daily basis.
You don't even know they're alive.
Yeah.
But they're the number one guys.
Yeah.
When you look at the top 10 realtors in the city, you see some of the names that you see, sure, that you know. But then there's like six or seven in there you never heard of.
Yeah.
You don't even know them. And then I asked the people on my team, like, did we ever hit this guy or talk to this guy? Who is he? He's in the top seven in the state. That's right. Yeah. He's Joe Schmo, who closed $47 million, okay? But all we're looking at is guys that are in the top 30 or 40 because they have big names on Instagram. Let's go after the top seven guys we don't know. Who cares if they have a name if they're not on Instagram? They're obviously closing deals.
Right. They don't need that additional, you know, customer base from social media or just marketing because just get it from either referrals or they're just killing it in a game nonstop. And
I mean, if you look at Aldo's Instagram, this guy works out hard. Okay. He does races. He does Ironman events, triathlons, whatever. I mean, you name it, he does it. He's not on Instagram boasting that he's, you know, building developments and closing deals with tolls and he's won this award. You don't see anything about that. You see what he does physically day in and day out because you know he has a hard job and mentally he's got to do that in order to get there. Am I right? I mean, you know, I don't know how you did an Ironman anyway. I mean, it's crazy, yeah. But he's great. It's good because that's what you got to do in order to keep going.
Yeah. And all honesty, I hate it. I hate doing those workouts in the morning.
There you go.
In all honesty, just waking up early.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
At 5 a.m. It sucks. Yeah. It's cold. It's dark. There's no one's out there. Yeah. But eventually I start enjoying it more. And the reason why I enjoy it is it's not necessarily because of the physical accolades or that is a bonus, but it's about the mental fortitude. You know, you wake up and there's so many different challenges, like waking up in the morning, it's dark out, it's cold out, but you got through all that. And eventually you start running and I don't know, there's this feeling, and you know this, Alex, you run too. After you finish, it's like, oh, this is great. Oh, this is amazing. You're ready for your day. And
Well, you accomplished something.
Correct. And that helps in the real estate industry is that no matter what difficulty or what challenges that you go through, whether it's investing, right? Either your GC just left out or a deal just didn't work out for you. You still have that same mental fortitude. The same thing when you wake up in the morning and do that workout is like you just push through it.
Yeah.
Is that mindset.
I mean, that's great.
Important.
I mean, and that's really what it's all about, you know, is getting the motivation every day to do what we do.
Yeah.
Which is great.
And the thing is, motivation is temporary. Like you could watch the David Goggins, right? You could watch any Jocko Willing, those guys and get your motivation up in that morning, but it's temporary.
Yeah.
The thing that you need is self-discipline.
Right.
If you're able to wake up at the same time, if you're able to knock out that workout in the morning or maybe in the afternoon, whatever that works for you.
Right. I mean, even if you have to tiptoe through your house and bang into things and wake the whole household up because you got to go work out, you got to do it.
You still got to do it.
That's it. I mean, No one else is going to tell you what to do. You do it, right? You take your lashings from whoever you woke up in the house and then you go for your run, you come back and then they're sleeping anyway when you get back. So
exactly.
So that it all goes away.
It's actually a good feeling when you wake up, you know, earlier than people and you get things done earlier.
You get it done.
But you get that afternoon slump.
I do, you know, I do. You know, 3 o'clock, I'm feeling the pain. And as you progressively get, you know, older and do in this business and you 3 or 4 o'clock, you're hitting a brick wall.
Yeah, you
know.
You need that power nap.
You need a power nap. Yep. You know, so I've been trying to go for walks in the afternoon more. I'm trying to get outside, breathe a little. You know, in real estate, you go 100 miles an hour all day. Before you know it, you burn out by 3 or 4 o'clock. You got to break it up.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do different things to break your day up.
And I think there's got to be a balance too within work and life. I think in the real estate world, or just in productivity, like especially living in a city, it's always go.
Yeah.
You know, take a step back, slow down, plan things.
I know. But people don't
talk
want
to
that.
People. But people have that, you know.
It's 100 miles an hour.
It's just
and that's
that social media, right? The social norm. It's
right. It's all social media.
Yeah.
So what's in the future for Aldo Chandra? What are we doing? You know, what's happening as we like? What's next in the line of work for you?
What's next is still continue working at Toll Brothers, learning whatever.
You've been there how long?
3 years.
Okay. No one stays at a job 3 years anymore, right? It's impossible to stay at a job 3 years anymore.
I love my job.
That's good.
Yeah. And well, it's two things, right? One is the things that I'm learning there is something that I translate into my normal like business life outside of that. And two is the people there are amazing. And I go in there and I tell them all the time, it's like, I'm intimidated by you guys. You guys have 10, 20 years of experience, and I just started in a real estate game like 5 years ago, but they're very smart.
You know what it
people.
Is? He's humble. And the problem is there's not a lot of guys like that are humble, right? These guys are in it 5 years and they think they should know more than the guys that have been in it for 25 years. Yeah. They're more cocky than the guys that have been in it for 25 years because that's the way that they're brought up on social media to act that way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to be a little bit humble around those guys because those guys have done five circles around you.
Yeah.
Right. So you're not better than them. You may be down the road, but you're not at that point.
But you're building much faster just because you're around those type of people. Now, and I talked about this with someone. It's like you're an average of the five people around you.
Yeah.
And if I'm working over there and I'm in the office and they're doing, you know, $1 million deals, dealing with difficult aspect of a multifamily deal, it's like, okay, how are they resolving those issues? Yeah. What are the people they talk to? How do they talk? How do they present it? So that's one.
Aldo did something really, which I'm going to get out to the audience real quick. He did a 3.5% down multi-unit, which is big in the market right now, especially in Philly.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of multi-units. You know, if you're a first-time buyer, right, you go and you buy a multi-unit, maybe be a two-unit or even a three-unit, which I've done. You know, you put 3.5% down, right, FHA. You get rental income off the other two units or the other one unit.
Yep.
So you got your mortgage payment paid for, basically,
correct,
by the other people that live there. So you're showing positive rental income,
yep,
right, on, and your mortgage payment's being paid, and you're building equity in a home now that when you go to sell, you know it's going to be worth more than what you bought it for, so you're going to make money no matter what, or you keep it,
yep,
as a double rental and you move somewhere else down the road.
Correct.
Right? That's a huge thing that I think younger people don't know.
Yeah, you get the 3.5. I mean, and FHA, you know this, FHA, you get 3.5% down. Yeah, there's going to be in the private mortgage insurance that might set you back, but you're doing the calculation. You want to buy in the ugliest house in the best neighborhood, right? And if you have the right team and you're able to analyze the deal and like, okay, maybe I'll house hack that, and that's another
what
thing,
is
right?
House
and investing, yeah, it's like house hack, yeah, you know, and going back to like personal finance, right? It's what are the biggest thing that you spend on a monthly or just daily basis? It's rent, right? It's food and entertainment. It's your insurance or
sure,
car,
right?
But I want to touch on the rent aspect. If you're paying $2,000 to apartment buildings, like that $2,000 is gone.
Yeah.
But if you're house hacking, whether it could be a duplex or a triplex, or it could be a single family, and you're renting out to two other roommates,
they're paying a mortgage payment.
Those income are rental income that's paying for the mortgage payments. And maybe you get a little bit of cash flow. That's always a plus. But you're also building equity on the home.
On the house itself.
Correct.
So when you go to sell it,
right,
or you continue to rent it, whatever it is, you're building equity.
Correct. And
you know,
and even down the line, even if you don't want to resell, you could take out a HELOC for a future investment.
Sure.
Those rental
off
income.
Of that property.
Correct. Those rental income aren't going anywhere. Those are building your equity and that house.
Yeah. Yeah, see, Aldo had the guts to do it. The problem is that a lot of these younger people, which I'm not going to put you guys down, but you got it, right? Because I'm going to get myself in trouble again here. Then the comments are going to roll. I'm not putting you guys down. You're doing great. But listen, you got to put your neck on the line. Put the money in the investment like he did. Do the 3.5% down. Don't be scared because you're going to make your money back no matter what. Real estate, you will never, ever lose, especially in multi-units, which are always going to be big because you're showing rental income on another unit and your mortgage payment is being paid for and you're building that equity. You got to do it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of inventory out there in the city to do it.
And you take advantage of the market as well. Yes, the interest rates might be high, but negotiate. Talk to many lenders as you can and feel out what the market is. And right now it's a buyer's market, shifting into the buyer's market, right? Not a lot of, there's a lot of houses that's still online for many days on the market. And there's not a lot of buyers just because buyers are swaying away because of the higher interest rate.
Yep.
And take advantage of those. We didn't touch this on the deal, but I took a seller's assist on that deal to
cover
to,
the closing costs.
Correct. And put
he
that
literally
down
got
payment.
In. He literally walked into this multi-unit with 3.5% down. His closing costs were covered by the seller completely. That's a no-brainer. And he's getting a positive rental income on the other unit. So now his mortgage payment's being paid for. what's wrong here? Like, you got to do that type of deal all day, every day. Like, I know it's a little bit scary because you've never been in real estate before, never bought a house, but that's the way to go.
Right.
If you really want to say to yourself, I'm afraid that I got to put $2,000 a month out. No, get the rental income from the other unit and it'll take care of that $2,000 a month.
Right. And yeah, so just know your numbers. That's another
gotta
thing.
Do the numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Do your numbers. Talk to lenders. Well, talk to realtors.
Right.
Yeah. Talk to Alex, right? Yeah.
That's
the top guy.
Right. Right. If you don't talk to me and you try to do it on your own, you get a problem, right? Because then you don't know what you're getting into. And then the numbers could be messed up and it doesn't make sense.
Another thing that younger crowds have issues with is paralysis analysis. It's like, okay, what happens if this happens? No, just take on the data, take on the numbers. And I talk about this, my mentor is, you know, and he actually took in this from poker. It's like, have that gut feeling. 70% of what you analyze, the numbers and everything, take that into account. And at 30%, you just got to execute.
Yeah,
just got to jump in.
Just do it.
Yep.
You know, you can't be scared. You got to do it.
Yeah. And that's in real estate, right?
That's
you live and you
estate.
Learn.
You live and learn every week, right? So the last thing I want to touch on is the settlement that just came through with the NRA this past week. Everybody's talking about it. I talked to so many realtors. They're running scared right now. They're really going crazy. I saw an article on Facebook where, you know, the buyers used a mortgage company. They didn't use a buyer's agent. They just went online and picked the first mortgage company that they saw and they used them. And they went to the listing agent directly and they negotiated with the seller and the deal exploded the week of closing. The mortgage company called the buyers and said, you know, we can't do the deal. You guys, we never verified your income and the deal's dead. Okay. What I'm trying to point out here real quick is that if you had a buyer's agent that you had employed up front who was experienced and knew what they were doing, and you paid them a commission, then they would have told you really that lender was no good to go to begin with. And that deal would have never blown up the week of closing. Okay.
Right.
You need to employ a good experienced buyer agent up front. This new law that came out has agents worried that they're going to be extinct. People will always need buyer's agents, right? Commissions have always been negotiated up front. Okay. So now it can't be on paper anymore. Right? You got to do it off the side. But the bottom line is going in unrepresented on $1 million house, let's say, or $500,000 house here in Philly or wherever, the main line, wherever you're buying, and then you have no representation. You're just trying to deal with it on your own with not knowing any of the ins and outs from an experienced professional, you will get yourself in trouble.
Correct.
Okay? You need a professional to tell you what to do on how to buy that house. Let them negotiate with the seller and they'll negotiate their commissions. Buyers are still going to need buyer's agents. So, you know, I think it's business as usual. This thing's not supposed to even kick in until July, right? And the courts haven't even gone and approved it yet. I bet you this thing gets delayed, if not squashed completely. So everybody's saying this week, oh, the world's coming to an end and let's not work anymore because I'm worried that I'm not going to get paid from here on in. You're crazy. You got to keep going.
Right. Okay?
How important is it to use a buyer's agent?
I think it's very important from a client perspective or like an investor standpoint is you have that person who's doing deals on a daily basis, who's looking at deals, who understand the contract and know how to get a deal done. That's very, very important.
Sure.
And yeah, it might be, you know, 1-3%. It's just a small percentage, but
you have peace of mind.
You're correct. That peace of mind and that experience and that guidance. I think it's similar to people who just go into courts without any lawyer. It's like,
You represent yourself.
Yeah, you represent yourself and you might have well just kick yourself in the foot and not knowing all the you know, the legal jargon that they went to school for. But from a real estate perspective, you know, they're doing deals all day. And
I mean, you're going to the listing agent. Listen, the listing agent doesn't have your best interest at heart. Okay, they are selling for the seller.
Right.
Right. So if you go to them directly now and say, I want to negotiate a deal directly with the seller and I want to, they don't have your best interest. Okay. The best interests are going to be more of a buyer's agent having your best interest and let them negotiate with the listing agent and take care of it.
Correct. And from a buyer's agent perspective, you know, they might get scared of this, but that kind of pushes you even further, right? Yeah. It's like, what value can I give to my next client based on my knowledge and skills?
Yeah.
That's very important too.
Right. So I think you can't panic right now. I'm voting for the buyer's agents because I think that they are needed. And listen, maybe the ones that don't want to work or and you know, are MIA half the time, then they may be eliminated because you're the ones that show value and actually want to work and are in this for a career are be the ones that move forward and continue to do what they do.
Correct. And so, to go back on my deal that we just did, we just closed on, you know, I took the agent test and completed a 75-hour, but I still had a buyer's agent that worked with me just because, I mean, there's paperwork involved, but there's also negotiation back and forth. And, you know, shout out to Brandon Gallagher of the Ryan Stylist Group, right?
Brandon was great to deal with.
Yeah.
Really good. Sharpshooter, young guy.
Yep.
No doubt.
But I still, you know, work with him, even though I had that experience in real estate, because I don't know everything, right? I don't know the ins and outs of the contract.
I thought you knew everything. Why is he on here? I thought you knew everything. You're out. All right. You're done. But we only want people to know everything on the show.
Well, I don't know everything.
Well, then that's a problem, right?
Oh, man. But he's very sharp. And yeah, he's great. There's situations where I needed advice and consultations, and he was there. And of course, with the help of his team as well. So
yeah,
it's a win-win.
Aldo, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Alex.
You did a great job. All right. Awesome. This guy is, again, another, I say it every week because most of the people that I have on here is a wealth of knowledge. If you're a new investor getting into the market, you need a mentor. This is the kind of guy you want. If you don't know what you're doing with your credit, how to get your credit scores in to where they're going to go, this is the guy you want to talk to. Okay. It's a, you know, and these guys are out there. You just got to seek them out.
Correct. Right?
They're not going to come to you. You actually got to do a little work. Look up to who is going to, I know it's tough. Do a little work on that thing and see who the person is that I'm going to go to be my mentor in order to get me going.
Yeah. And go to a lot of meetups, talk to many people. It's there's people who knows other people, right?
Yeah. You actually got to talk to people face to face. I know this is tough, right? I know this is, everybody wants to do this and that's all they want to do. You got to actually go to the person, talk to them, go to meetings and connect.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like dating, right? In a business aspect.
In a business aspect, right. Which a lot of these people are not good at dating, obviously.
Oh, man.
Listen, thank you for coming on.
Awesome. And, thanks, Alex.
I will hopefully see you soon. We'll have you back. All right?
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
I'll see you.
All right. Have a good week, guys. And again, this will air on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. You know, on YouTube, Spotify, all your major broadcasts there. So check out the show and we'll see you soon. Thank you.